Scotland is to get the power to change the rates and bands of income tax, but not the starting point. It will also get power over some social security benefits. The plans were revealed this week by the Smith Commission, which after the referendum on independence was given the job of getting the major political parties to agree on devolving more powers to Scotland. Live now to Edinburgh, first to talk to Charlotte Barber, who's head of taxation at the Institute of Chartered Accountants of Scotland. Charlotte Barber, just how far will Scotland be able to go in changing income tax?
The proposals, I think, are very bold, and they offer the opportunity to change the rates, 20%, 19%, what have you, right across the piece. And it also allows them to change the actual bands. So you could have a larger band at 20%. You could move the 45% to 50%, bring it down. Quite a bit of scope there. But on the other hand, the operational aspects of income tax remain UK-based, so it should be efficient.
Yes, and the starting, where you start to pay tax, £10,500 from April, that will stay the same. But the bands, the higher rate, £42,285 from April, that could be changed in Scotland when they get these powers. And as you say, the very top rate. So that could be quite big changes for people living on different sides of the border. And is it where you live or is it where you work?
It's based on where you have the closest connection, and the tests are already set out in the Scotland Act 2012, because we're already getting a Scottish rate of income tax due to come in 2016 anyway, despite what Smith has offered.
So that's a much smaller proposal, but that will start then. So there will be border issues. Will we all have to declare whether we live in Scotland or the rest of the UK?
There could be border issues, yes, and certainly there are people, as we know, who kind of commute backwards and forwards, London to Edinburgh and beyond, as we know, and they will need definitely to look at where they live and do, if necessary, do count tests.
So they might own a house in England, maybe, go to Scotland to work for a week and then come back, or the other way around, and they would have to decide where they lived. Well, listening to that is Coletta Smith. She's business reporter for BBC Northern Ireland, and she was, of course, economics correspondent during the referendum campaign when we spoke to her last. Coletta Smith, before coming back to that border issue, another big change, benefits. A lot of those are going to be devolved, but not all of them. It looked a bit messy to me.
Yeah, it is indeed quite messy when you look through the list. The key thing is that universal credit is not going to be devolved. And for those that are receiving pensions, neither is that. So that's being held still at Westminster. But a lot of power is going to be devolved to Scotland. So cold and winter fuel payments, disability living allowance, carers allowance, attendance allowance, that is going to be now held at the Scottish Parliament. And within that universal credit, one of the touchstone issues of the referendum was that under-occupation charge or under occupancy charge, sorry, which most of us know is the bedroom tax. And the Scottish Government's now going to have the power to be able to vary that.
Right, so that will be a difference. And when is this going to happen? We've got the Smith Commission, we've got a general election soon, and then Scottish Parliament elections a year after that. When might this actually happen?
Well, we'll get draft legislation in January. It'll then be implemented, as you say, after the main general election. But probably the full implementation won't happen until maybe 2019, possibly as far as 2020.
Oh, so quite a long time. Now, yeah. You're in Northern Ireland now. What are the border issues there that we might see between Scotland and England? Now, I appreciate it's a very different situation with a different nation state, but do you think there might be these cross-border issues?
Yeah, there certainly are some similarities. I mean, between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland, there's always the issue of comparison, and one's always trying to compete against the other. The big issue for Northern Ireland is corporation tax, because in the Republic of Ireland, corporation tax is very low, only 12.5%. So it's very difficult for companies to compete in the north. So just within the next couple of weeks, it looks likely that Northern Ireland is going to have that power devolved to it.
But Scotland isn't getting that power, is it?
It's income tax that Scotland's focused on in particular. Whereas that isn't an issue, particularly between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. But Scotland is going to get the power to vary VAT, or at least a good chunk of it, probably about half of VAT is going to come straight to Scotland. And it's been quite interesting to see what they've done in the Republic of Ireland with that, really picking the things that they're very good at. So they've picked hospitality and tourism and cut the VAT rate to just 9% in the Republic, which means that they can compete very effectively.
Yes, I thought Scotland was going to get half the VAT, but it wasn't going to be able to change it because the EU law didn't allow it to change it.
Exactly. It's just going to get the revenues from it, about 10% of it.
And talking of revenues, Charlotte Barber, how significant is it that Scotland is going to get the revenue from its tax? Is that going to make a big difference to its budget?
I would have thought it must make a difference because you're then accountable for it.
Yes, and it has, of course, had some power, Coletta, to change income tax already, hasn't it? Right, for many years, it hasn't actually used that power.
It's had the power to vary income tax by up to 3%. But now, of course, this is a really whole different issue because what we're talking about is the devolution of the whole of income tax. Effectively, they can not only change it, but they can spend it in the way that they want to, which gives them much more incentive to change it in the first place.
And Charlotte, let me ask you one practical question. How are employers going to cope with this? Because they could well have people due to pay Scottish income tax or English or UK income tax?
HMRC have already been working with employers and looking at the Scottish rate of income tax because it does come in anyway in 2016. So I imagine that the Smith proposals will be an extension of this and it will go through payroll for the vast majority of people, PAYE and the likes of me. I'll get an S tax code, a Scottish tax code. And so it'll go through payroll as any other pay would. There will be some associated costs because you'll need to educate your workforce
and so on. I can imagine small businesses particularly saying it's going to be another big burden on them. Coletta Smith and Charlotte Barber, thank you very much for talking to us.